write you a long time ago, but because of my health, I couldn't do it. So I asked Dr. Larry Berman, professor, who came here to see me, and then so to help me to send this message to you. How much I miss you for over 30 years, and then we enjoy so much about the past. I would like to remind you again that I appreciate you very much for helping me during the war, that I asked your authorization to tell your husband also to allow my family to be evacuated to your house. And then both of you agree. When you found out that this was not safe either, so I could, you make arrangement that we could go into the French military attaché behind your house. He agreed too. Unfortunately, that was not safe either. So, and then you proposed me to go to your apartment near the waterfront. Yeah. And then Peter, Pierre, was agreed to. At the end, that's not safe either. So we, the embassy checked it. They had only three, you know, safe places. One is the American embassy, number two is the Grand Hospital, number three is the Continental Palace. That's why I had to go there and to take my mother to sleep with me there. So, I mean, if the communist camp, they were not supposed to go into this kind of three places to snatch the people out, you know, to put in prison, etc. So this is the only way for me to do it. But anyway, thank you very much. One thing I apologize, I told you before, I advise you to leave Vietnam because of Oliver's sake. He was very young. I'm afraid that the war may hurt him if the attack happened in Saigon by force. Even I was reluctant until Bob Shepland advised me to evacuate my wife and children. For me and my mother, it's up to me to decide it takes time. But for my wife and children, the deadline was on the 23rd, so he advised me on the 29th, on the 22nd, so I decided to evacuate them. Now, back again to you again. I'm very upset when I learned that you become very lonely after Pierre passed away, and then you wrote me some short message in July. 2001, describing about the passaway and trouble you had with Pierre, etc., and then Oliver with his girlfriend, etc. But you had to go in a hurry to in Michigan to sell the house with your sister belonging to your family. You were born there if you were rich enough. So that time you didn't have a job. So I tried this side to try to see the American USIS. I suggest to them and in order to hire you to come here to work for the American embassy here, a consulate just opened, particularly USIS. So and then suddenly, and then he didn't say yes or no, but I told him that you were very experienced, not only about Vietnam, but you speak French, your wife is French, and all the Americans here, and all the French, all the Vietnamese, you know the area. You know the lot, you have Long Hai, land, etc., all kind of thing. So, and then they were happy to learn about that, and the Vietnamese were happy that they have someone specialized in tourism as a guide, etc. You know, we did not know anything much, you know about that. So, suddenly, in March, Rufo Philippe came to see me, and then he rang me, and then so he came to see me at my house. I mentioned to him at one that I mentioned about two men I'm interested. One is Jolene, that I'm looking for a job for her at the consulate. And the other one, I lost the address. I don't know how to get in touch with him. You know what? This was Mrs. Brandis. And then he did not say yes or no. He said he made believe that he did not know both of them. But at the dinner, you know, he invited me to have a dinner with him the following day at the Caravelle. And then he stayed at Rex Hotel. And at that time, he told me that he said, all right, he remember now, you know. I remember your name. He remember Mr. Marcus House. He remember Milsey Brandis, etc. He said, all right, back there, he will help me to get address and everything. And then when I received his message, email, he said that he had a dinner inviting you, and then Mrs. Lukunin to that dinner, and both of them were happy, and I'm very happy. I told Bruce, I thank him and Barbara, his wife, to invite both of you. And then I hope that when you return from Michigan in August, you would continue to write me email. So I waited, but unfortunately, because of September attack happened, or 11, 6 hours before my birthday, I was so upset. I had traumatic shock because of the war lost to me from 39 until 89. So I look at that. I was sick of it, so I didn't want to do anything at all in my life. I was very unhappy about that. And then after that, and then 2002, I get sick because of emphysema, because I has been smoking for 52 years. You know, I smoke like a chimney. But I really missed you so much, and I'm grateful to you. I still have the material you sent to me from France when we were here. We demand, we in need of everything, you know. We did not realize that. We make one shot, it still exists, but I don't wear it any longer. For now, because now we are a little bit better. Well, but I'm very weak. I cannot write. I don't know how to type the email either. I ask my son or my wife to do it. I don't want to bother them too much. That's his problem. But now I look at the picture. You are in very good shape. You know what? You, even though at your age, you change only one thing. Your hair a little bit white, that's all. Your smile the same, your teeth the same, everything is the same. You are very optimistic, very cheerful. That's good. I hope that your future will be better, you know. Nobody know can tell anything about that. But anyway, I wish that you are all right, as well as your sister. And I know that you are a very beautiful daughter. You talk to me many times about your mother. Your mother would like to stay with you too, but you could not afford to have her stay with you until the day she died anyway. But you have many friends, and I really miss you. I hope that by thank God, I can see you the last time somewhere on the earth, rather than in the Eden or I think that 40 Vietnamese, we are fictitious. We have to go to three places. One place is the hotel, the ancestor hotel is the sentimental soul. The other one is they call it a spiritual soul. When the heart stops attacking, you go up the air. The third one comes from abdomen, they call it material soul. We have to make account before the emperor of hell about the crime we make on this planet. So I don't know when I will go down to hell yet. So anyway, I wish you good luck, and then if any time you are free, please send me some word, and then I appreciate very much. And then right now, I prefer to say goodbye to you, and then please get in touch with Bruce Russell and his wife, Barbara. I don't remember her well, but when she came, she stayed at Mr. Hurst's house, and then I hope that he come here. He and I, we become friends 51 years this month. We know each other since 1954, and then all his people almost passed away. I think the only one left who came here to see me among his group was he. One, not one. I would like to remind you, or maybe you remember him, was the Colonel Magruder. He had always the most well-armed officer, full colonel. He had two or three guns, and even his belt has one gun. He has the English, you know, swing with the... So he came to Givron, drink a lot, and then three guys, you know, thought that he was crazy. They trying to get in touch with him and then to take his pocket, etc. He knocked down three of them, and he called the police to take him up. His man is Colonel Magruder, you know, he came, he was in love with you. And he told me, he said, that they are, if I were young enough, I would call Pierre and ask him to have a duel. The prize is Jolie Nogano. I said, but he always, you know, like that, you know. Actually, he did meet many a friend at Givron to plan to attack, because Iraq and etc. in order, because of the 73, you remember, Yemeni, the minister of oil of Arabia Saudi, they boycott selling oil to the American. That make inflation very bad for the America in 1973. Perhaps you remember that one. Yeah. And after that, because of Iran, you know, become a revolution in Iran in 1980, so the American inflation getting worse. The third time it was Iraq, you know, that's why Bush father had to launch another operation in the Gulf to stop it. That's now they have another problem. But anyway, so that is the politics. I know you are interested in politics, but now it's time for us to rest. For you, I know you never rest. You never rest because you are American. I'm Vietnamese. I have to rest, but I don't know where to rest. Either hell or Eden. Right now, I'm in the airboat. All right, goodbye now, Jolene. And then say hello to Oliver. But I miss him. I remember when he was a baby, when he was young too, he started speaking two languages at the same time, so you complained that your son is big enough, but he doesn't talk. And one day I came to your house, and then he had a cold. And then you asked him, you want to stay with your mother or your maid? He said, in Vietnamese, I want to go to the maid, you know? They speak Vietnamese more than the French or English, three languages in the house. But that's why he was confused. And then when he learned how to send him to send kindergarten here, you know, and the Catholic church, the Catholic lady, trying to hold his hand to show him how to write. He didn't want to write. You know what he did do? He bit the hand of the teacher. The teacher complained to you. I still remember this kind of thing about Oliver. But I hope that he grow up. He still pay visit to you every day. That is good. That is really good. If he could not stay with you, because I know that after Pierre passed away, you should be very lonely, except you and your dog. But I wish that Oliver may come back and stay with you, rather than to stay with his girlfriend. Anyway, you are always optimistic. You are now teacher, that's what I understand. It may give you more relaxed, rather than staying thinking something else. All right, I hope that to see you one before I die. All right, bye now. moving on. I would like to talk to Mrs. Brandis Jeanette, their daughter, Julian, their son, George, Mark, and Matthew. First, I would like to express my gratefulness to all of you who have helped me from the first day we met in Saigon in 1956 until the day you left Saigon in August 57. You have been not only to teach me how to write English, even though I know that we spend too much time in the evening. If Neil is busy, Jeanette, you are so nice, so kind, that you took over to teach me too, even though you had at that time three children only, no four. And then you did my best. Unfortunately, I did not have the chance to go until October 10th. And then over 1 month or later at the school. Anyway, you know about that. Now I wish to take advantage of the presence of Dr. Professor Larry Berman, who come to see me quite often, to ask him to do a favor to record my word to you, because I cannot write now. I intend to write a very long letter, but I'm so weak. I'm very moved when I receive a long email sent to me by Julien, describing very emotional way the passing of Mrs. Brandis. I was lucky enough that Rufo Philip helped me to locate your house, and both of you returned to your area to stay there during your own day. This is rare, very rare, for one family to have a chance to return to their homeland to stay until the end of their lives. We do, we Vietnamese, even though our country is very small, rarely we do it. We have that chance. One thing that impressed me and still stick in my head is when I was on my scooter climbing up the Hypatrick Street, I saw one husky American, heavy, who was paddling the cyclo as a cyclo driver to drive the passenger, who was a cyclo driver, very skinny, frail, in the car or the cyclo. I was surprised. This is the first time, very abnormal, that a Caucasian who was playing the role of the cyclo driver to drive the cyclo driver as passenger, I mean, exchange position, up the hill to near Grand Hospital. At the level elevation, they exchange position. Mill went into the carriage to become passenger, and the cyclo driver drove him home at 213B Kong Lee. You know, this is very human example. It stick in my head until the day I die. That's the first time one American showed me the temperament and then how generous the American were the first time in my life. And your children, as well as the three children of Frank Silong, I guess that Mr. Brandis know him because he worked at the same office where I did at MAT. We met very often. So the first time in my life also, I had six young American children to teach me how to deal with American children, how to be related to them. And the two last things I remember very well until I die. One is I live together with you day and night when we make a trip to Ban Mae Thuat. Your last trip before you left Vietnam. Ban Mae Thuat, we stay at the one, they didn't have any hotel but the bungalow. The French called the bungalow a long house like a rade. Actually, it was a hotel with the very most up-to-date, you know, facility run by a Vietnamese, but we work for the French. So we stay there, we drove there by the Land Rover. And then we went into a fall nearby Mysore City. And now Mr. Brandis showed me how they trying to build a hydroelectric plant there. But they haven't finished, they haven't touched yet. That's in the place where there were plenty of elephants that many hunting people would like to go and lure. At that time, we were free to kill, don't know why, animal, not like now. And then after our stay in Bamiswood, we drove all the way to Yatrang. We took the route over, we drove down to the coast, the coast in the province, called it now south of Yatrang, as was Phang Rang. When we reached the end of the road, we saw on the left side a very big mountain. It looked like a lady carried the baby. So I mentioned to him the story that you, both of you, helped me to write, because I tried to write some stories so you could have a chance to correct my English. This is called the statue of the mother and the son. The mother, actually, here, the son waiting for the husband who never show up, but the man already went away and disappeared. Actually, he and this lady were brother and sister, but for some reason, he beat his young sister with a machete, something like that, on the head, so she would suffer. So her parents take him away. So when they grow up, they didn't know each other, and they get married. When he found out that he married his own wife, his own sister, with one baby, she left. She then, she was there to wait for, so the Vietnamese very superstitious. The fishermen from the south, when the southwestern wind blow up, they have the say, they pray the lady to blow more wind, so they would go to Quang Nam faster. That is the story I told, and you people helped me to write too. But, and we stay at Yatrang for almost a week together at the restaurant at the Costa. And then after that, we return to Saigon. You continue until we left. You know that I'm very difficult for me to go anyway. But before leaving, you introduced me to the Conrad Nilo. They were very nice too. They continued to take your job of teaching me English when they were available, either he or his wife. They had two daughters living near the cathedral. And then this time, I returned, I hope to return two letters I sent from Musee Brandis until I die. But now I know that I won't live long. I have to return. With my purpose is not is to let you see the real letter of good memory of your long trip back to your country that Mr. Brandis described in that one. I think the children and you will enjoy it, except one who were not born yet at that time. This was your last son, Matthew. When I arrived in your house, the summer of 59, before going to UN to learn how they operate the press at the UN, and then to see Khrushchev's arrival at the UN too. I stay with you, and then every time Mr. Francis was free, he took me around and showed me. The rest of them I drove by myself, or I went to the city, to Washington DC, to win a trip. So we enjoyed very much staying there. You didn't charge me anything. You were so generous that I want you to read, to remember, and particularly I would like to wish my gratefulness for my life to all of you, and particularly Matthew. He was born when I went into Arlington to see you, to see you, but say goodbye. That was in 1959, summer 59. he was fence off. I tried to bring him out. And you stopped me. He said, I'm not the time for you to bring him out yet. Because if you bring him out, he had a habit of going out. And then when you go home, who are you going to carry him? So please let him there. But he's so sweet. I think that he did not know anything about your stay in Vietnam, your trip, last trip. So I think that he enjoyed it. And the other letter is to show that how political conscious that Brandis did. I thought that he was engineer. He was interested in technical thing only. But this time to show that he very thorough, conscious of politics, and he is very patriotic, and then very confident of the future of his country at the end of his letter. So I wish to return this to you as a memento to your family. And I'm sorry, I'm very weak now. When I received the letter from Julian, and I get the first evacuation at the hospital, and then you can ask more detail from Mr. Larry Berman, who will tell you more about me. And I wish you good luck, best wishes to all of you, and particularly Julian, Mark, George, and Matthew. It seems to me that Matthew is the most successful, according to the letter that Julian sent me. Alright, goodbye now. I wish you good health, particularly Jeanette. You were so quick, so fast, like a squirrel, because your way of driving the Land Rover, I know it. But Mr. Brandis, he liked to ride a scooter, a cooler. He never wore long pants, just short pants. You know, very light at Mac headquarters, etc. All right, goodbye now. Thank you very much.